The path to a better life begins with a simple step. Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Cheryl Maloney.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show. Do you find yourself in a constant state of change and wonder if it's ever going to stop? Do you just wish there was a time when you could have some even keel going on instead of constant change? Well, my guest today is Jordan Gray, and Jordan is the author of The Seventh Major Understanding, and he is also a regular contributor to Simple Steps, Real Change magazine. And in his article for the latest issue, he tells us that we need to celebrate the process of change. And I love this quote that he gave us, and it's a Maya Angelou quote that says, "We delight in the beauty of the butterfly, but we rarely admit the change it's gone through to achieve that, and that beauty." And that's what our life and our changes are about. So Jordan's here today to help us embrace that change. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's my pleasure to be here.
I so appreciate you starting your day off with us today. And change is one of those things, and I love the way that you talk about it, because there are certain changes that we plan on, right? Like the marriage and going to college and those types of things we actually plan on. But there's so much change we don't plan on. Give us a few examples of those kinds of changes we just don't really anticipate.
Well, of course, there is that change when you're on your career path and you're thinking everything's going fine and suddenly your company's downsizing. And guess what? You need to start job hunting. So that's a change that many of us have gone through as in this changing economy. Oh, another one might be that you just plain get fired from a job, or someone in your family becomes suddenly ill and loses their health, and it changes how you must support them, take care of them. There are just endless amounts of changes that come along that are unexpected. I've discovered really that change is a constant companion. I know that we'd love for life to just settle out and become that smooth, still pond. And sometimes it does, and yet the water gets disturbed soon enough. So we go through change as a course of life.
Well, and I love how you put that, you know, some of these changes are just ones that we wouldn't desire, we didn't want, we didn't ask for, but they are part of life. And almost, even though we wouldn't wish so many of these on our worst enemies, they are part of life. And you talk so much about embracing the change. How do you help people do that when some of these changes aren't really the ones they'd wish on themselves?
Well, I always would start with recognizing that there's a gift in the change, even though we weren't expecting it and weren't looking for it, that there is some gift within it for us, even if it's just an opportunity to grow, to learn new skills, to try something new. So we get shaken out of our comfort zone, and we end up perhaps fulfilling our life dream. You never know what gift change might bring to you. So when we get into that idea of acceptance, then we can start letting go a little bit of the stress, but not completely. There's a process of change, and I'd like to elaborate on that a little bit, if I may.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a wonderful book by William Bridges called Transitions, and it was one of the first books I studied when I was learning a lot about change. And William Bridges says that all changes, even minor changes, are a process of death and rebirth. And he breaks it up in these three phases. He talks about endings. All changes are some type of ending. Even if you're just changing a habit you've had, something about your way of life is ending. Then there's this phase he calls the neutral zone. And in the neutral zone, things can be very uncomfortable. A whole lot of wondering, you know, who I am, what's my new identity. And then there are the new beginnings. And unfortunately, as most of us have experienced, you don't get to break these up in one step at a time. Often they're all happening simultaneously for us.
Well, and that's an interesting, and I love this. This is not a book that I'd ever heard of before, so I appreciate this, because when we look at that change being the end of something and the rebirth of something else, we can see that there is a positive at the end of what may be a negative for us. And knowing that, just intuitively knowing that that positive will come, actually gives you hope.
Absolutely. You know, the ancient cultures, the Native Americans and the Aboriginal culture, they had a process for this. You know, they would take somebody out and leave them in the wilderness and say, you know, go discover who you really are and then come back to the tribe. Or there'd be a process where they just go through these rituals where someone, you know, releases or gives death to their old identity and is reborn with a new. And we don't do that so much in our new or modern cultures. And yet there are ways we can kind of do it on our own. You know, you might take your own personal retreat or, you know, get off on your own vision quest if you have the time and the luxury to do that.
Well, as you're talking about realizing that maybe something's ending, whether it's with a change or, like you said, a job, it can be anything that is ending. How do you help folks who just go, wait a minute, was so much better before, you know, now there's no way it can be as good as it was before? How do you help them work through that?
Well, that's an interesting question, and each person kind of has their own way of dealing with changes. I'd like to talk a little bit about something called the change continuum, and I learned about that in a book called The Change Leader by H.B. Karp. Mm-hmm. So I think your listeners, will find themselves somewhere along this continuum, or they may recognize a friend or coworker in this. So on one end of one extreme end of the change continuum, and I think this is the kind of person you were just talking about, no change is good, you see. They're very past focused. They want to keep doing what's been tried and true, you know, and they're blindly resisting change because they are very uncomfortable with the neutral zone, the transition space. So they'll do anything to avoid it. You know, power is our ability to get what we want. And resistance is our ability to avoid what we don't want. So a lot of people automatically go into resistance because there's fear about the unknowns with this change. There's fear about who am I in this new environment. So I would deal with that person by trying to get them more present. Get into the now of it and do your best to release what has been.
Well, as you talk about this neutral zone, because as you said, that's a very uncomfortable place to be, and that may be where the fear lies, the fear of the unknown. Wait a minute, I knew what I had before, even if it wasn't good. You knew it was a known commodity, so to speak. It was a known environment, and you get into this neutral zone where you don't know what's coming, and that insecurity and that fear is probably a very natural reaction for most people.
I agree, Cheryl. I think that we all have slight fear of change because our identity is shifting. And that's, as you just put it, a very uncomfortable experience to go through. You know, I'm searching for who am I in this new environment? Who am I in this new behavior? Even the wanted changes, the desired changes, like you mentioned before, marriage or going off to college, there's this big transition between leaving the known and going into an unknown. And so even though this is a change we want, there is also that death of something we had, something we were very comfortable with. So we go through that neutral zone, even though the shift can be very quick.
Well, and another thing that came to mind as you were just saying that is, even though it may be a known change, like someone who made a choice to leave a job, if you've been in that job for so long, your identity's tied up in it. So you may, in this neutral zone, get to a point where you go, oh my God, what did I do? I had it. It was okay back then. I know I wanted to go, but what did I do?
Right. The wanting to run back to the way things were, because there I knew who I was and I knew how to operate successfully. And so now I've stepped away from that by choice even. And now it's like, oh, maybe that wasn't a good decision after all. And that all happens in the neutral zone, according to the book in Transitions, which I recommend. And William Bridges has put out a few other books on the subject of making transitions in life and handling change, and I would recommend all of them. He's really done a great deal of life work on this subject. So okay. I want to continue with the change continuum, because I think some people will also find themselves on the other end of this spectrum. So on the very far extreme on the other side are the people who love constant change. They're very dynamic, and they fear boredom. So if things are too static, they'll shake stuff up just for the sake of change. They'll change for no good reason, just because they get some kind of adrenaline from it. It's something that gives them satisfaction, just to keep things dynamic, fluid. And these people have a really good skill at actually suppressing their resistance.
Well, in that suppression, is that really help? I mean, I understand what you're talking about, the adrenaline junkie that always wants the new challenge, the new something to keep them going. But in that repression, are they missing something?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's why it's an extreme end of the spectrum. And there are very few people who really fall into this category, probably 10 to 15% of the people who just adopt new changes just constantly because it feeds their need. And the suppression of the resistance doesn't allow them to explore the letting go of what has changed, the letting go of the what used to be. And they will deny that they need to do that. So at the end, where there are people who just think any change is bad, they are stuck in the past. Mm-hmm. And on the other end, for the people who think that all change is good, they are future focused. So there's this extreme end of the continuum where neither of these individuals is really in the now, in the present. So if they were having, oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, do most people fall in the middle of that continuum? Is it like a bell curve?
Yes, I would say it's like a bell curve. So we find ourselves generally falling toward the middle, but, we also move out toward the edges sometimes. You know, you may be a person who's generally in the middle, and then there's a certain change that will come up where you get way over to one side or the other. So it's interesting to watch how people move along the continuum. When I was working in a large corporation in management, so we would have management meetings where our leaders would introduce changes, there were probably 3 or 4 people in our group of 15 that I could count on every time to start with resistance. This isn't going to work. I don't know why we're doing this. This is a bad plan. This isn't going to work. And then there were the people on the other end who couldn't wait to, how do I roll this out to my people? And let's get out of this meeting and get it going. You know, these were the people I would observe that were on the end. So let's talk about the people that are in the middle, because that's where most of us fall.
Right.
The folks in the middle find that change can be very productive, but they want to see the benefit of it. Let's not just change for change's sake, or let's not just get stuck in the same old ways. If we're going to do change, though, I want to see how it's functional. How is it useful? And these people are growth-seeking, but they're very present, and they honor their resistance.
Now, what exactly does it mean to honor your resistance?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. To recognize that, I have some concerns, let's call it. I have some feelings that I need to work through. You know, I need to realize that some part of me might be objecting to this change, and I want to look at why. Okay, so what am I afraid of? What do I think is bad about this? Or what do I think is going to be the pain? You know, people don't really resist change. We resist the pain or the thought of the pain that might happen.
And that makes perfect sense as you're saying it, because we do want to avoid the pain and the suffering.
Exactly. So the people in the middle are very present focused and they value what is, but they also know that change is inevitable. Change is a part of the process of life. So in realizing that, then I know that some change is definitely going to serve my growth. So when changes come upon me, whether I chose it or whether it was introduced to me through some other source, I want to look at how does this benefit us or me or the group. I want to know, you know, what's going to be the expected outcome of making this change.
Well, and one of the things that you say is that it's very important to allow yourself time to make that mental and that emotional adjustment. Can you talk about that a little bit, too?
Absolutely. So in the mental and emotional adjustment phase, there's actually some confusion and there are some emotions, maybe even some feelings of emptiness. I lost something. Something is lost. And so in honoring that, I want to spend some time realizing that things have changed. I guess that's a poor way of putting it, but I want to spend time realizing that it's okay to let go of who I was in that environment. It's okay to let go of the identity I held. So, for example, I was a student for the longest time. I went to college, and now I have finished my program. I've graduated, and now I need to let go of who I was as a student and begin to adopt this who I am as a career builder, because I still don't have my career going, usually. I'm a career builder. So I need to take the time to honor what has changed. How can I let go of? And sometimes you have to just grieve. There can be a process of grief in the letting go.
Any ending, isn't it? With absolutely any ending, whether it's someone who has passed or the end of a significant marriage or anything that goes with that, there is this period of grieving. Then that's a very personal thing for everyone to go through.
Yes, it is. And grief is like change, not an easy process. And yet if you understand it and welcome it and stay very now focused, stay in the now with it, you will find that you do go through a transformation. And it's not, you know, the grief of the loss of a significant relationship or the loss of a loved one. That's not a chosen transition.
Right.
And yet, we will all survive it. You live on, and it does change who you are.
Well, and from that, as you say, that change, and this is really the key point of all of this, is you're beginning something new. There is a new part of your life, a new part of your journey, a new part of who you are that starts after you make that transition.
Absolutely, yes. So that's the gift in the change, is that I get to explore a new element, a new aspect of who I am. Like I'm a diamond with many facets, and here's a facet that I now get to really show and shine.
Sometimes we think of ourselves almost as one-dimensional. I'm the mother, I'm the employee, I'm the, you know, the CEO, I'm the this. And we forget that there's so much more to us when we get so tied up in labeling who we are, too.
Yes, that's a very important point, Cheryl. Thanks for saying that. the labels we adopt become so much a part of who we think we are, and our labels really aren't who we are at all. So, yes, good point.
And I like as we're talking about this, because I know in my own transition, and you left the corporate world to go off and do what you're doing, just like I left the corporate world and have ended up in a very different place. We discover all sorts of new strengths and abilities and parts of who we are that we would have never known had we not made the change.
Correct. Yes. And again, that is when you're looking at a big transition like that, that is the gift in it. So when I start sitting, you know, there were times when I would think, oh, what did I do? Why did I leave that great job? What was I thinking? I could also then let that go and shift back into, I had a goal in mind when I left there, and let's get focused on what kind of activities I want to engage in to achieve that. And also, it's an opportunity to really become more of who I want to be. Perhaps I got into that career at a very young age, and I allowed it to shape me. I know by the time I left my corporate job, I was thinking, is this it? Is this all? There's got to be more to my life than just serving this corporation.
You know, that's a really interesting point, and I love that you brought that up, because especially the longer we stay in a job, in a position, or in some cases, marriages, relationships, whatever the case may be, we find something's lacking, but we don't know what it is. And when this change takes place, all of a sudden we realize there is more to life than what we thought. Now here's a whole other door to walk through, or maybe a dozen doors, and you get to choose from a smorgasbord of doors.
Yes, and making the choice, sometimes you really need to take a time out. That was the objective of the ancient cultures when they would do these vision quests. There was this time out away from, get away from the routine you've been in, unplug from that, and take this time out and go wander in the wilderness, or, you know, go take a retreat somewhere. And there's really no specific goal you have to achieve on that retreat. Just let yourself release the past, get in your present, and start to consider, who am I and what do I really want? What do I really want? You know, perhaps I've been doing what other people told me I should want. Or maybe I've been doing what I was trained to believe I want. And maybe I don't believe that anymore. So the neutral zone, sorry?
No, that's fine. I'm sitting here going, that's a really interesting point, because we're raised and we believe what our parents believe, or those that are such a major influence in our lives. And then we find ourselves, you know, older in life and going, wait a minute, that doesn't work for me anymore. Now I can make this change for me.
Yes. Yes. Coming into our personal power of choice rather than the dictates of our upbringing. And, you know, people go through that when they change their religious faith or decide, you know, is this really my belief, or wasn't this just what I was taught when I was younger? So that's a really good point too, Cheryl. Sometimes our life flow goes in the direction of how we were nurtured by our parents and the leaders of our church or our school, our teachers. And then we start to realize coming into our personal power means I get to choose what I believe. I get to decide who I am, rather than just follow this path that was laid out for me.
It's interesting that it would take, and I know in my case, I think I was in my 50s before I realized that I didn't have to do and meet the expectations that my father had for all of those years, which of course worked for him. But at that stage, I sat there and went, wait a minute, this isn't working for me. And I love when I work with clients now and they realize this so much earlier in life. And if we can all get to that point of realizing we're adults, we can make these decisions, we can make these transitions by choice, makes all the difference in our lives.
Yes. I also applaud the youth who are able to do that. You know, folks in their 20s who can make that change. You know, I was in my 40s before I left corporate world. So, you know, if you can get into who you really are at a younger age, I applaud that.
Well, Jordan, I really appreciate you being here with us today and introducing people to this continuum of change and what you are so much an advocate for. But before I let you go, let folks know where they can reach Jordan Gray.
Oh, thank you so much for asking. You can find me at my website, www.seventhmajoruunderstanding.com. Now, that's a mouthful, and I want to point out that it's seventh. It's the digit seven followed by TH, seventhmajoruunderstanding.com. And I'm also on Facebook, and I love to connect with people there, facebook.com/JDG, those are my initials, speaks, JDG speaks.
Wonderful, and we will put all of that up on the website so people can find you. Jordan, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Cheryl.
All right, everyone. That you've been talking with Cheryl Maloney and Jordan Gray, the Seventh Major Understanding. Thanks for being here today. Have a wonderful rest of your week.